Ringers Election Special. Hello and welcome to Today on this post-election morning with me, Nick Robinson.
And me, Michelle Hussein. So as the clock ticked over to 10 p.m. Thursday night, the entire nation held its breath as we awaited the result of the exit poll.
As we discovered that Michael Foot's 1983 manifesto was now only the second longest suicide note in history.
Reaction to the exit poll was quick to come in. This from Tony Blair. Not surprisingly...
No, haven't finished yet.
Despite things looking dire, Jeremy Corbyn insisted he was remaining positive as he arrived at Dignitas to watch the results come in. I want to remind you that in relation to the election result, I am maintaining a neutral stance.
To give you an extent of just how dreadful a night it was for Labour, Prince Andrew told friends he thought it had gone rather well for Corbyn.
Jo Swinson's hopes of being Prime Minister at the end of the night were dashed by her being Jo Swinson. I'm just hearing that we can now go live to Downing Street, where Boris Johnson is about to address the nation.
Tonight is a historic evening where the British public have entrusted me with the job of governing this great country. The country of Shakespeare, of Wordsworth, of Melinda Messenger. This is not a time for gloating. We are a divided nation, but I can heal those divisions. What was that?
Fill your boots, city boys! Pop open a second bottle of Krug, the prodigies are on me!
No. Must resist, bad Boris. We need to bring this country together!
Stop that! The only thing I'll be bringing together is a couple of stunning blondes. They'll receive 150 grand each, and I'll be getting technology lessons until I'm bow-legged.
Stop it, bad Boris! You're ruining everything!
I can't decide. What election promise to break first? Replace universal credit with pole dancing for money? Why not? Dance for bad Boris, you wretched single mothers. Dance faster.
Don't stop.
Or maybe flog the NHS to Trump. Boo-hoo-hoo-doo-hoo-hoo. Your little brat had to lie in a pile of coats. Well, I had to do the same in wardrobes across Chelsea. After the filly's husband came home unexpectedly early. Stop your moaning and get some boopa.
You've reached IKEA customer service. Our helpline is still under construction because we can't read the instructions. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hello, Jo Swinson here. I'd like to change the delivery address of the Flugenbomber executive desk I ordered. Could you please divert it from 10 Downing Street to Big Yellow Storage? It's a long story, but suffice to say, a campaign strategy based on telling 17.4 million people to go swivel has surprisingly backfired.
Hello. Here I am, spread across my big desk, like a careless waiter who's just upended a plate of meatballs. I'll be joined later by a frightened hat stand, a woman who quite likes cheese, a wombat that wants to be a pirate, and Diane Abbott!
Andrew. Desist your mirth. Do not incur my wrath.
Well, Diane, it's a pretty bad night for you.
No, Andrew, as ever, you are wrong.
I think it's pretty bad.
Only if you look at the numbers, Andrew. The numbers are just one part of election night. The colours, the shapes, the sounds, they're all part of it too. If you put all those things in the equation, I think you'll find the Labour Party are the winners.
Oh, look, this is ridiculous. Is there anyone else I can speak to? I mean...
Well, there is Jeremy. He's here in this packing case. It's where Seamus Milne keeps him when he's not needed.
Hello, Mr. Corbyn. Are you in there?
I am.
How do you feel?
I am pretty disappointed.
I'm sure you are.
I am so disappointed in the BBC.
In the BBC?
I'm disappointed in your hideous right-wing bias. What were you thinking? Broadcasting the actual result to the entire country.
I'm afraid I can't believe that.
Can I finish? Can I finish? Shall I tell you where the BBC first started to go wrong? When they started broadcasting everything I said and did. Diane, hurry up and serenade me with a chorus of Oh, Jeremy Corbyn to drown out the inconvenient reality of real life.
Oh, my pleasure, Jeremy. Oh, Jeremy Corbyn. Oh, Jeremy Corbyn.
Folks, you've reached Prime Minister Boza Johnson. If this is one of my unacknowledged children, leave a message and you'll never hear from me again.
Boris Karloff. This is the Donald. Congratulations on becoming President of the United Kingdom of Hobbitshire. Great people, very small, tiny. I'm calling now because the NHS is officially on the table. I want it. I want it even more than I want three Russian prostitutes to go pee-pee on my doopy. I need the NHS to fix my tiny baby hands. So tiny, tiny. They're so tiny like pigeon's feet. In exchange for the NHS, I'm going to give you a ton of American McNuggets. Rename it the McHealth Service and every patient will get one of those great plastic toys too. And a tiny Trump figurine that'll distract them from the $100,000 price tag for an aspirin. You know what makes me most pleased that you've won, Boris? It's that we're so alike. We look alike. We think alike. Totally, utterly, completely so alike. Which means you can be impeached instead of me. That's what I meant by trade deal. We trade places. You come over here and face the Democrats, and I'll come over there and fondle your queen.
Available now on BBC Sounds. A special edition of Election Cast. Laura Kunzberg, Katja Adler, Adam Fleming, and Chris Mason offer their expert analysis of all the results.
Oh, well, yes, I
That's Election Cast on BBC Sounds.
Good evening, I'm Hugh Edwards. I wait years to get the election night job, and then they go and give me the crap one. Breaking news now, and we're going live to a disused mineshaft in Derbyshire, where we understand a dramatic rescue is taking place. Andrew Marr is on the scene. Andy, what can you tell us?
Hello, Hugh. The same team that freed the Chilean miners that time is now releasing all the politicians who have been kept hidden underground for the whole election. Jacob Rees-Mogg has just appeared.
Where is she?
He's running towards his family, past his family, and into the arms of...
Nanny. I thought I'd lost you.
Diane Abbott, any plans now you're free?
I must find Jeremy. I must go and help him win the election.
Diane, the election's over.
Not according to my figures. Jacob. Jacob, my darling Jacob.
Oh, the Lady Diane.
Wait, you and Jacob are friends now?
Oh, indubitably.
Yes. I simply cannot resist a man who's privately educated, lives in the past and is detached from reality.
Welcome to Newsnight. I'm Kirsty Wark. I do my hair toss, check my nails, baby, how you feeling? Feeling good as hell. More on that story later. Joining me now is Brexit Party leader Nigel Farage.
It's a glorious day, Kirsty, for my brave band of Brexiteers.
I'm sorry, but didn't all your candidates lose? Oh,
didn't we lose, she asked. Well, in votes, yes. In seats, yes. In power, yes. But in popularity, also yes.
Yes, the fact is, you didn't win any seats.
No. Do you honestly think I'd have put that bunch of swivel-eyed loons forward if I wanted to win any seats? That's why every single Brexit Party candidate was a creepy weirdo. Destined to limp in unnoticed in fourth place. It's the Farage way.
Oh, well, congratulations, I suppose. You've achieved your aim.
I'm not done yet, Poppet. First, Nigel Farage's Reform Party. That'll win a phenomenal no seats in 2024. Then, in 2029, Big Nigel's Vape and Xenophobia Party. A mesmerising zilch seats. And in 2034, my Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, party.
Zero seats?
By Jove, I think she's got it.
Listening to The World at One with me, Sarah Montague. I'm joined now by one of Boris Johnson's most vocal critics during the election, the actor Hugh Grant. Mr. Grant, why the hostility towards Boris Johnson?
He's made this whole career out of playing this sort of role of a tousled posh boy with an affected stammer, and people mistake that for ability, and that was my idea.
Well, we actually have Boris Johnson on the line. Mr. Johnson, how do you respond to the accusation that you stole his idea? It's like listening to two Alexas having sex.
With Boris Johnson on course for the kind of election victory you only usually enjoy after killing Argentinians. We can now speak to Theresa May. Mrs. May, you must be happy about the scale of the Tory triumph.
I'm over the moon. You can tell by my gritted teeth, my chalk-white complexion, and the fact that I'm digging my fingers into my palms so hard that blood is pouring into my sleeves.
Okay.
I am incredibly pleased that Boris Johnson, who, let's not forget, resigned when I presented my withdrawal deal, saying it was the most awful deal in the world, who then presented that exact same withdrawal deal as his, having changed the font from Courier New to Comic Sans... is now being cheered to the rafters by the very people who stabbed me in the back.
That's nice.
I am utterly cock-a-hoop that he took my election strategy of running away from the press, hiding from the public, and repeating appalling slogans until everyone was sick to death of them, and turned that into a stonking majority. I'm so very happy. Perhaps if I'd been given another go, I too would have stolen a phone or ignored a sick child lying on the floor of an NHS hospital. I could have done that. I could have done it. He hid in a bloody fridge. Anyone could do that. I can hide in a fridge. Would you like me to hide in a frigging fridge? Would you?
No.
Would you?
No.
I've got one right here. In I go. In I go. Watch me. Hide in a bloody fridge. Watch how easy it is, Britain. You utter stupid bastards!
Hello and welcome to day two of the BBC's election coverage. I'm Emily Maitlis. I'm joined now by Arlene Foster.
Glad to be here, you bronze strumpet. Put those ankles away now.
You've had a rather bad night.
I know. I'm extremely surprised. Who'd have thought cozying up to the Conservative Party in some form of coalition would have a backlash during an election? If only there was some kind of historical precedent that might have warned us.
Now, Boris Johnson has got a thumping majority. Sure you agree you don't have any influence anymore?
No, that's where you're wrong, you tousled-haired tramp. I have already spoken to the Prime Minister and indicated that I am very keen to continue our pact.
And what did he say?
You mean after he stopped laughing?
Yes, after he stopped laughing.
He didn't stop laughing.
You have got through to the voicemail of Jeremy Corbyn. I can't come to the phone right now as I'm making an extremely long list of all the people responsible for Labour's election defeat who aren't me.
Hello, Jeremy, a scraggy-necked old scarecrow. It's Nigel here. How's it hanging? Well, now, I've been hearing that Labour is after a new leader, and I got to thinking. I'd be the perfect person to carry on your excellent work. I mean, think about it. Who has more experience leading a ragtag bunch of loonies who worship their leader? With, I have to say, messianic fervour to humiliating election defeat after election defeat. That's right, me! I've even got my own wellies. Give us a bell, I can start Monday.
Welcome back to Channel 4 News. I'm joined now by Jacob Rees-Mogg. Your reaction to this extraordinary victory for the Tories?
My principal reaction is one of deep and profound condolence.
With the Labour Party or Joe Swinson?
No, with my new Conservative colleagues who must now represent constituencies such as Workington... Burnley and Scunthorpe. What a ghastly predicament.
Surely it'll be a great honour for them to serve these communities.
Look, it's one thing to represent gentlemen farmers and artisanal cheesemakers, as I do in Somerset. But the people in these new constituencies are, in many cases, peasants. And these same peasants will now be approaching their MP and saying things like, "Can you fix my hay wain?" Or, "Do I have bubonic plague?" I am genuinely concerned about the fate of these unfortunate new Conservative MPs.
Let's speak now to one of that group, the new Conservative MP for Darlington.
Darlington. The indignity.
You have reached the voicemail of Joe Swinson.
Hello, Joe. I'm Nick Clegg. As a representative of Facebook, I'm here to change your status with the Liberal Democrats. I'm changing it from in a relationship to it's complicated.
We can now go live to a press conference with Nicola Sturgeon.
Let's go bloody mental! Let's go bloody mental! La 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 la! Hey! La la la! Hey! Have you seen Corbyn with his face like a melted bagpuss? I am loving it! Listen up, we're changing the party line. We're no longer saying that we've now got a mandate for NDRF 2. We're now saying that we've got a mandate to do whatever we bloody well fancy. I've got enough seats to force the Queen to wear a tartan burkini. I've got enough seats to strip Joe Swinson down to the skids and have her walk through the streets of Arbroath ringing a bell and chanting, "Shame, shame!" I'll rule over Scotland like Darth Vader with a bowl cut. And look, you know what? Indie F2 doesn't go far enough. I want to physically break away from England. I'll meet you at Hadrian's Wall. You bring the jackhammer and I'll bring the dynamite. Let's have it!
Count Binface, it's Lord Buckethead here. What sort of moron splits the receptacle headgear vote? Next time, let's form a container coalition.
He's the star of any election night, dashing the hopes of millions with his merciless grasp of numbers. Now you can have your hopes dashed year-round. Available now on one download. It's Professor John Curtis Ruins Things with Numbers.
But the Guardian said it would be very close.
No, the data very clearly showed that Jeremy Corbyn is a shitty stick tied to a lead balloon. Wearing concrete shoes, and that the Guardian are a bunch of deluded lentil shaggers.
His genius with figures means he can ruin anything, not just politics.
My mummy and daddy are going to get me an Elsa costume for Christmas.
No, if you look at the figures in their bank balance, they clearly indicate that you're getting nowhere near that, and three out of the last four Christmases, you've in fact ended up putting on a brave face for the present that you hate.
But I really want...
No, all data available shows you should really stop crying now, because it's not going to change anything.
You have reached the voicemail of Jeremy Corbyn. Please leave a message after this brief process of reflection.
Hello, Jeremy. This is Greta. Don't worry. I'm making this call from a phone I made from recycled mattresses. I just wanted to say congratulations. I've spent months traveling across the world, whipping up young people into a frenzy of despair about their future. But you've managed to crush more young people's dreams in one night than climate change ever could. Please, Mr. Corbyn, teach me.
Good evening, I'm Hugh Edwards. Let's take a look back now at some of the most memorable moments from the last 5 weeks.
No, let me grovel. I say to those Brexit Party candidates I've withdrawn from Tory-held seats, you have my sympathy, you have my respect, you have my admiration, but I have your £100 registration fee, so screw you!
Mr. Neil, I am very sorry if anyone feels sorry that I am not going to say sorry for not having said sorry about anti-Semitism. But the fact is, and I make no apology for this, I am not sorry for the way I've dealt with the whole sorry affair. And if that upsets anyone, all I can say is, oh dear.
Look, I have every sympathy for that poor boy forced to lie on the floor, because I myself prefer lying in an upright position. Whether that's to the Queen, or the public, or whichever unfortunate woman I happen to be married to at the time.
There is absolutely nothing fraudulent about the Tory Party rebranding its Twitter feed as Fact Check UK, or my name's not Michael Australian Style, 40 New Hospitals, Get Brexit Done, Beau Regard Smythe.
Look, it was just a bit of banter. Jeremy and I agree on this. The Labour Party manifesto was just banter. Not to be taken seriously at all. And luckily, no one did!
Let's turn to one of the only likeable candidates in this whole campaign. One who refused to lie and, most importantly, turned up to key debates. That's right, it's the ice sculpture that replaced Boris Johnson. We can hear from it now. Really restores your faith in politics.
You've reached the voicemail of Boris Johnson, Prime Minister. I can't come to the phone right now because I'm giving John Major a wedgie.
Boris, it's the Queen.
You know, from coins. Your recent behaviour has been, for the want of a better phrase, dog dirt. You lied to me about prorogation, lied about the number of hospitals, avoided debates, pledged to alter the constitution, and you winning the election brings shame to this once great nation. And with that in mind, I just wanted to say thank you. After all, I need something to distract from Prince Andrew.
Now, at this stage of the evening, I believe we have some rather sensational breaking news. I'm joined now by the BBC's political editor, Laura Koonsberg.
Breaking news, Hugh. I have been told that on his way in to vote, Jeremy Corbyn wrestled two old ladies to the ground before pistol whipping them while screaming, "Stalin rules, communism for all."
Now, Laura, you're not peddling lies again, are you? Like when you tweeted to your hundreds of thousands of followers the other day that Matt Hancock's aide had been punched by a Labour protester outside a Bristol hospital?
That was completely different, Hugh. That pack of lies was told to me by a senior Tory source, while this clearly 100% true shocking event was told me by a very senior Tory source.
Now, look, I won't stand for this, Laura.
You think you have the right to lecture me, Hugh, after you threw scalding tea in David Attenborough's face.
What? Laura, that's not true.
It's too late, Hugh. It's already a meme. You only get a hue with Taifu. Ha! Breaking news. John Curtis just dead-legged Princess Anne and happy slapped the Dalai Lama. The bastard! The cruel bastard!
Laura Koonsberg there. The Dared Ringers election special was performed by John Colshaw, Lewis MacLeod, Deborah Stevenson, Duncan Wisby and Jan Ravens. It was written by Tom Jameson and Niff Fountain, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, Sarah Gibbs, James Bug, Alex Hardy, Lawrence Howarth, Edward Tew and Lewis Cook. It was a BBC Studios production. The producer and creator was Bill Dare.